I have the flag of China and the flag of the United States and a beautiful array of flowers. And then I have Dennis Richardson. So, Representative Richardson, do you care to speak to us?
Sure. I do. I need interpretation on that. Mr. Co-Chair and Madam Co-Chair and members of the committee, this item on our agenda relates to investor immigrant visas. It's an outgrowth of the Immigration Act of 1990, which basically was an act that was passed by Congress to help attract foreign investors to come and invest substantial amounts of money in the United States of America. And so the law basically says that if you want to qualify to receive residency benefits in America, then if you come as a foreign investor and invest between $500,000 and $1 million and create over a period of 2 years 10 jobs, then you can essentially get a green card. That you can become a resident for you and your family, and it can actually work its way into permanent residency and even citizenship as time goes on. The reason that we wanted to bring this up to this committee is that there are some different variations on how this law works. One of them is called the pilot project, and it involves setting up a regional center. And there's 27 regional centers in America. Three of them are by states. Vermont, Hawaii, and South Dakota all have set up their own regional centers. And the goal, of course, is to use their resources, whether it's their equivalent to the OECD, or in the case of South Dakota, it's their agriculture department. But they've asked them to set up these regional centers and help promote foreign investors to come to their state, so that they can make that investment of between $500 and $1 million, and it's flexible in some ways in that it doesn't have to be a brand new business. It can also be into a current business. You don't even have to increase by 10 employees in some cases, like if it's a business that's having difficulty, and the money is an infusion into a business that meets certain criteria, then if it can just maintain its current number of employees and help make a turnaround from a business that's failing to help it become more successful, then it's good for the economy, it's good for the investing family, and it's certainly good for the state as well. Now, the reason we want to bring this up is that there are a substantial number of Chinese business men and women who are gaining great success and are also developing a substantial net worth. And for them to come to China, or from China to America, requires them to get visas, which is a very laborious and difficult process. I mean, they have to go to a couple of cities where it's allowed, Guangzhou, Shanghai, or Beijing. You have to pay money, you have to stand in line. But if you qualify under an EB-5, then you would have your own visa, and you could go to and from very, very easily. And so we wanted to introduce this to our committee, with the possibility we might consider asking OECD to look into the appropriateness of having Oregon establish a strategy to attract EB-5 immigrant investors to Oregon. Any questions?
Well, just do we have any questions? Have you spoken to the head of our Economic Development Department about this, Representative Richardson? I'm just
not yet. In fact, I got a briefing from our new LC attorney, Janelle Barton, last night on this, and we've been looking at different ways that it can be approached. We haven't talked to him yet, but that'll be the next step.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Have you spoken to the congressional delegation we have here about this visa struggles as well?
We have about the visa struggles, and in fact, 2 years ago when I went to China, I stopped in the American Embassy in Beijing, and met with the head of visas there. This last trip, just this last June, we went to Guangzhou and met with the head of visas in our embassy in Guangzhou to discuss this serious problem, because we have people that want to come, but it's so difficult to get visas that they can go to Australia, they can go to Canada, they can go many places, but to come to America, especially since September 11th, has become very difficult. And we've been assured by the head of visas in Guangzhou, which is the department that's over our sister province of Fujian, that they would be happy to work with us You'll hear a little bit later that one of the things we accomplished in June was to establish an office, the Oregon Fujian Sister State Association, which is not affiliated directly with the government, of course, but is a Portland group that has many of the same members that are on our board here. They've established a business office in Fuzhou, which is the capital of Fujian province. And one of the areas that we discussed with the head of the visas in the Guangzhou office was that if our office, OFSSA's office in Fuzhou, could have a relationship with the embassy office to help facilitate things. And they said they would be happy to work with our office, that if we can work out a system to get the necessary documentation, that he would assign one of his officers to work with the Oregon Fujian Sister State Association office in Fuzhou to help ease this problem of getting visas. And so we're making progress.
Mr. Chairman, to formalize this, I move that the committee approve Representative Richardson contacting our Oregon Economic Development to see if we can further this along, if that is proper, so we have it formalized.
Motion has been made.
Second.
The motion has been seconded. Discussion, please, of this motion. Any objections to the motion? We just adopted that motion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Christian. Attracting a Chinese investment in Oregon and a proposal for an Oregon-China fund.
Yes.
We would like to move to that next item on our agenda. And I would like to hear from the Executive Director, Mr. Jin Lan, on this, our committee Executive Director, please.
Shall I?
Well, you're there. Why don't you just start talking from there?
Okay. From there.
No, from here.
Okay. Very quickly, I will make an introduction actually to Mr. Niels Payne. I think on each of you, there's a folder here about his company and what he does. This is a somewhat innovative idea to create a fund to attract an investment from China. I would like Mr. Niels Payne to speak specifically on that subject matters, after which I will be happy to explain any other questions our panel members would have.
Thank you. Mr. Payne, would you please come forward and to our witness table there? Oh, he's going to do a little PowerPoint here.
I have a little magic
button somewhere here. Yeah, well, are we going to do anything with lights or anything? Or we just, what do you think, Jim? Well, okay, Jim knows what's going on here. Could you, I don't mean to, when you start, you need to identify yourself and things.
For the record.
You have to do all that.
My name is Niels Payne. I'm the Managing Director of PPC Venture, which is a Portland-based venture capital firm. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. I was invited here. Thank you. And to the panel, I was asked to come here to discuss, as was just mentioned, what it would take to attract investment in China to Oregon. Our venture capital firm is very focused on bringing in specific targeted dollars to opportunities in the greater Northwest. And through my relationship and traveling with Jin over the years, I have come to be more familiar with what's going on in China and in their interest in bringing capital to the United States and specifically to our application to the Northwest. There is a presentation in front of you. I think everybody distribution in a folder. I'm going to walk through that with a PowerPoint here, and it's however you'd like. We could do discussion during that period of time. It's almost easier for me. I have no contest in being interrupted. While waiting for that to warm up, I can actually speak to the slides that are there. I think one of the biggest challenges, and Representative Richardson had mentioned it beforehand, is there is a lot of capital, there is a lot of equity available in China to come to do investments in other parts of the world. I think there are several challenges to doing that. One is the ability to get the dollars out of China and into other foreign countries or into other opportunities. And second is the ability for those investors, and we're talking about individual investors specifically for EB-5s, we have $500,000 to $1 million on investment. We're typically talking about individuals, and their ability to make those kinds of steps on their own is quite challenging. Not only are you going across between countries, but you're also challenged by being able to identify good opportunities. As a result of that, you have lots of very small opportunities, small investments with very mixed, mostly negative results. So the objective here is to create a fund that provides a vehicle for investors in China to invest their money and pool it together in a fund organization around the EB-5 regulations. Oh, there we go.
That always works.
I can handle that part.
There you go.
We're getting there. Provide a vehicle for those dollars to come into the state of Oregon, and specifically to the specific interests the state of Oregon have for investment dollars. I'm going to break this down just into quick groupings. First, give you an idea of who we are as a fund, as an organization, and the ability to actually put together a fund like this that would facilitate that kind of investment. Talk a little bit about the opportunity in China, a little bit about how the funds work, what the investment opportunities, and then my take, my understanding, my read on what the challenges are for the state of Oregon, like it is in other states who are considering similar kinds of models and that we've talked to, is what is the challenge and how do you overcome those challenges so that you can be successful in bringing the dollars in. You can spend a lot of time talking about models and concepts, but the ability to actually raise the money, I think, is what we're here to talk about. Just quickly, we're a venture capital firm based in Portland. The name of the firm is PPC Ventures, unlike what is on the summary page today, just for clarification. We're a spinoff of an investment banking firm. We're a member of the OFSSA as a result of my relationship with Shalon. And we have two funds, the first being the PPC Ventures Northwest and the second being this Oregon China Fund. And those two funds could ultimately work together so that the total amount of capital being invested would be that much greater, thus facilitating even more investment from investors in China. This is old news for you, I'm sure, but I want to just reemphasize what I think the three issues are that are present. First is, I do think that the notion that the amount of capital that is coming out of China is similar to what we saw in Japan many years ago, and the kind of growth and kind of investment that is going to go on in this country. As I said from the beginning, I think also the challenge is that a lot of those investors have not had the ability to invest dollars outside of China for many years, and so they don't have the skill set nor the knowledge of how to do that.
That's terrible.
And as we all know, that trade imbalance between the two countries is not something this fund is trying to remediate, but it certainly is evidence of the kind of capital and dollars that are being generated in China that could be directed outside of their own country. The reason why this is an interesting model for Chinese investors is the way we invest. And I will spend very little time talking about the fund and mostly on what it takes to raise the capital, but I want to connect the dots between what it's going to take to create a successful fund versus creating a fund or trying to attract investment into a very large fund. Because we're a small fund and we're very focused, we focus in an area between most typical venture capitalists and angel investors are investing. That means somewhere between $1 million and $8 million in particular investments. That's very different. We aren't required to go out and find deals that require $15, $20 million in investment, which obviously fosters very well for Chinese investors. Second is we're an operational-based venture fund, meaning when we're going to go look at opportunities like opportunities in non-primary markets, which is our focus, most of the time those investments need something more than just money. They need some direction, and they need some management, and they need to be driven towards a particular goal. So instead of finding a fund that we can pour more money down a hole and be unsuccessful for anybody involved, including those investors from China who, unless we're successful the first time, won't come back, nor will their colleagues, then it's an important criteria for the fund. So we take a hands-on approach to it. We are non-primary geographic markets. That means we are focusing on marketplaces. Our focus in Oregon has a representation in Portland, but we're more interested in outside parties, outside areas of the state of Oregon. We're doing the same thing in Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and we're looking in British Columbia and Alberta as well. These are markets that typical investment is not going to, and ones that we have a lot of interest in. Sustained exit, I think, is the other important part, both for the state and for, or primarily for the state. Instead of putting money into venture capital opportunities that are going to ultimately be rolled out, we want to have sustained investments. Any fund that the state of Oregon is going to have participation in should care about not just return on investment, but sustaining jobs and sustaining some economic development. That is not necessarily standard for all venture funds or investment funds. I will flash through these quickly to my point on where most investments come from. The type of investors we're talking about in China come from, are talking about in this range here, but as a pooled investment, that pooled investment provides the opportunity to get into this gap. Somewhere they will not find the traditional venture capital fund, and as an angel investor, they will struggle by themselves. So it provides a landing spot for them they may not otherwise have. Again, this is the focus on successful investment in a fund like this requires something more than just capital. And if the fund's not successful, investment into China from China will not be successful. And the development, the benefit that the OECD or the state is looking for job growth and the rest, will become irrelevant. And I think that's a big criteria for how this fund operates. It needs to operate in a sense that's going to reach parts of our state here and other states, which is not as relevant to this conversation, that do not have representation by a fund, nor do they have anybody who will look at the venture capital opportunity there. Again, please stop me if I'm rolling too past the point that wants to be focused on. Here's where our fund is located today. I share this with you because it gives you a focal point on what we call non-primary markets. We all live in a non-primary market. I don't mean to offend anybody, but it's true. Venture capital world does not terribly care a lot about what we're doing in the venture capital business here. It's more about return on investment, volume, capital can be committed, etc. We are actually having similar types of discussions in Idaho and Montana, a little bit Wyoming, although that's a very difficult stretch, and then into Canada. These are areas that are looking for this kind of venture investment. Okay. My final slide on the fund is about sustained exit. And I think it's really important for us to consider what sustained exit means. It doesn't mean just how we're going to get a return on our investment for the tax dollar that's being committed to a fund like this. It's about if you create jobs and you create an economic benefit, is it going to sustain over time? Build up good businesses, and I think State of Oregon does a very good job of this. We are good at building little businesses, but we're not good at sustaining them. So I think any fund in this region needs to consider that good sustained model is a very important part of this, not just return on investment for the ultimate winner, which is the fund and its participants. Okay, now to the point where you asked me to come here to talk about. I hope you have at least a basis for what the fund is going to do. We are raising a fund from investors in China for investments in the United States. As we all know, there's a tremendous amount of money and capital available there. But they're looking for a different vehicle. I think they're unsophisticated as an investor group, and the barriers to getting across, as Representative Richardson talked about, are very significant. The idea here is to build a model that has a fund that would easily, that would provide that vehicle for independent individual investors to invest in the United States. How do we do that? We need to create a fund, and we've termed this the Oregon China Fund. And an Oregon China Fund would be a fund that brought in not only money from the state of Oregon, which would show its commitment to this model, but it would bring in dollars from Chinese investors who were looking at the commitment made by the state of Oregon, number one, and two, that give them a vehicle to invest in the United States. I think the key here about this fund is that by setting up an Oregon China Fund, the state of Oregon then has the ability to direct where that fund commits its dollars. So that doesn't mean every new deal that comes out of Palo Alto, California, or Cambridge, or Los Angeles, or Seattle. I'm talking about looking at opportunities and deals and funds in non-primary markets, per my previous slides, and the fund would have the ability to direct that. So it's a two-tiered approach. One is it brings in dollars from China because the vehicle is created, and two, it provides a vehicle for the state of Oregon to address some of the non-primary markets that are there. I think the second part, besides the commitment from capital, is that the state needs to promote Oregon to the people in China. Now, what was discussed earlier about the office that was set up and the profile of who Oregon is, where it is relative to the rest of the country and what the opportunities are, I think is very important. And I think that process is a requirement for any fund to go forward, because it would provide the credibility, besides just the capital committed by the state, but the credibility that there's good opportunity in this marketplace and Oregon is a destination for their capital. Is there any questions at this point? I don't want to just ramble on until my mouth goes dry.
Mr. Chair?
Please.
I have a question on whether there's any relationship between the Oregon-China Fund and the EB-5 investment, because I understand that there's some restrictions or some requirements as far as participation or those kinds of things that would preclude mutual funds from normally being involved. So are we able to meet both of those goals?
I understand your question. The answer is yes. I do not know enough about the EB-5 process and how it manages in a fund. This would not be operated as a hedge fund or a mutual fund or as a conglomerated dollar fund. It would be for specific investments in opportunities in the state of Oregon. Now, what does that really mean? What that really means is it's an accounting process. It's a way of being able to identify where those dollars have been invested, what those opportunities are, and what those results are over that two-year period, because those 10 to job creation is a big part of that. However, I would also like to offer that there certainly seems to be a lot of variance in the EB-5 process relative to what the opportunity is, and you've touched on this before, in regards to if it's a turnaround situation or the company is struggling or what have you, so it's maintaining 10 jobs that were going to be lost anyway. In a fund model, that obviously is very easy to do versus creating 10 jobs. And so I think there's a balance of power there.
Yeah, I spoke to an INS attorney recently who I wanted to come down and was unable to come. And first, I want to congratulate you on what you're doing and all the work you've done. I think this is great. But on an a priori basis, if somebody puts some money into the fund, this will not help them on an EB-5 basis unless you know exactly what is going to be done. It has to be done where it's in an economically down area or to increase employment or something else. So just putting the money in is not going to help from a standpoint from what they told me. I could be wrong. The second thing is, it confuses me, is if, let's say, you have a $100 million fund or a $50 million fund, somebody puts in $1 million, what percentage do they have of the fund? I mean, you first pick a particular investment and then say it's a $10 million investment, ask people to each put in their $1 million, so each one has 10%, mm-hmm. and then you open the fund. Or if somebody puts in $1 million initially, when somebody else wants to put in $1 million later on, you not open the fund until everybody puts their money. I'm kind of concerned about the mechanics of all that.
Well, it's a good question. And
maybe I'm getting too far in advance.
No, I think we could spend a few hours discussing the particulars of that. But I would tell you that the way the fund would have to operate if a significant amount of EB, let's call them EB-5 dollars, if they were, would be that those dollars would need to be committed towards specific kinds of opportunities. And those specific opportunities would have to be quantified. Now, here's a good example. If we're going to invest in Fred's Five and Dime, and we're going to invest $5 million in Fred's Five and Dime, and there's five different groups that are going to do it, we want to put $5 million, the ability to do that with a larger fund provides more than one EB-5 applicant to participate. So let's say that's 5 or 10 EB-5 investors that would make up that $5 million, okay, between $500,000 and $1 million. Do you follow my thought process? So as a result of a larger fund, it provides the vehicle for a greater amount of investment in that particular opportunity that would not be otherwise afforded by that individual trying to make that investment directly from China on their own at $500,000 or $1 million. I can tell you that, and you can smile back at me and say that sounds right, but until that has actually gone through the process with the management of the EB-5 process, I think that is a question that has to be addressed. As far as that component, that's a significant part of it.
Thank you.
Okay, let me roll ahead quickly here for you. As far as the state of Oregon is concerned, if we look at the dollars that are going out to different funding vehicles like OIF, government agencies like OECDD, and the Sister City kind of a program, our outbound dollars that are being sent out, obviously no return of investment is, in this particular case, some level of commerce or investment, some return on investment, and some creation of job and development. As a general rule, the dollars out are looking for some kind of economic benefit back to the state. The risk in doing this with the Sister City program or any investment from China is there is no management as to where that dollar will come back or how that dollar will come back. And so that those particular investors, if they don't have a fund, a directed fund, could direct that money to the state of Idaho, to which we've talked about already, or to another state, or some of the ones that was discussed before, and that EB-5 regulations have been set up to try to promote that kind of investment. And the second is what we just talked about, Mr. Greenstein just mentioned in his question, which is these kinds of investment result in very limited investments. It's a $500,000 investment in the United States, could be in a gas station in Roseburg. I mean, that is not realistically what would happen, but there is no direction or any control where those dollars go to real sustained business opportunities. And I think that is the real risk, unlike some of the other investments that the state would make, in which they have more direct correlation to where the investment comes from. And the risk of taking too much time, let me just jump to this one slide that I think breaks down the model as it was discussed. The objectives of this slide breaks down the two groupings, the objectives of this, what the state of Oregon would have and this particular committee, and the objectives perhaps the investor would have. We take the state of Oregon and the investors as our two primaries, and we create a fund. This fund has a very specific directive. That directive is to invest those dollars. So for their results of investing in the United States, number one, and two, an EB-5 visa. The objective for the state of Oregon would be bringing those Chinese dollars into the United States and investing into Oregon state-based funds that are here. And the third level is investing in those dollars into Oregon companies. And all of that results in two primary goals for this for the state and for this organization, which is commerce and jobs. And for Chinese investment, it's going to give them EB-5 visa application access, which they may not approach otherwise, and ultimately a return on investment. Without this kind of structure, and you can look at later, we can talk at another, that kind of opportunity would not be afforded.
Okay.
Interest of time, maybe I'll just cut it off there and take any questions or discussions.
Okay, Speaker, Speaker Mace is going to have to leave. Do you want to?
I apologize. I'm going to have to. I have to drive quite a ways to get to my next event. But I was hoping to hear the children sing this morning or this afternoon. But we're going to have to miss it. I have had an opportunity to hear them down at the garden, at the Chinese garden up in Portland. But it's truly a treat. I was hoping I wouldn't have to miss. You know, I had the honor to have dinner with the ambassador and others last night, and he talked about reaching out and getting to know each other. And if Americans and Chinese can reach across and get to know each other and have a better understanding of each other, it would afford opportunities and to exchange ideas, to exchange investment. I look forward to that. I want to congratulate Representative Richardson for having this passion. He has propelled us to where we are today and been just a great ambassador on your behalf into the Legislative Assembly. Certainly looking at these kinds of programs are important to see how we can bring the dollars in for our economic development and then perhaps exchange, you know, what we do here into China and export. And I know that there is that sort of a relationship, but there's room for growth and strengthening that partnership, and I look forward to working with you in the future. And again, I apologize I have to leave, but I know the good Mr. President has got everything well in hand, and I'm sorry I'm going to have to miss kids. I was looking forward to hearing them this morning.
May I propose something before you leave? I'm still concerned about the ability of a group investment from people I've talked to who are INS specialists being able to allow them into an EB-5 thing. And before we proceed and get egg on our face, I would propose that the committee hire or try to get pro bono, which are my two favorite legal words, information from an INS attorney specialist as to how this might work, because I don't want somebody to spend a lot of time going ahead with the Oregon economic, etc.
This is just a conceptual idea. We're not moving anywhere before we do our checks.
Okay.
So there's no point to hire anyone right now.
Okay. Thank you, Speaker Ministry.
Yeah,
words
you,
of well, hospitality and appreciation. Appreciate it. We are waiting for the Ambassador Pong to join us. He is, as I say, en route. Mr. Nels Payne, do we have further any questions? Yes, please, Jim.
May I just see a few words? As far as... No, you can sit down. Yeah,
thank you very much.
Yeah. As far as EB-5 is concerned, I think there are a lot of interpretations of the law. As Morrow mentioned earlier, that his attorney has a different read on the law. I've checked with other attorneys, and they have different read on the law. What is important today is that I think the idea proposed by Ms. Nels Payne is a very innovative idea. That idea could really put a very special focus on how the dollars from China can be best spent. I think you all are very familiar with the situation where there are a lot of Chinese individual investors. They come in to buy a restaurant or buy a gas station, where the state really has no say in that. However, if we can channel those sources to the best use to develop Oregon clusters and other less developed areas, I think that would be a very innovative idea. As far as EB-5 is concerned, yes, we do have challenges. However, I think by working with congressional delegations, not only Oregon, others, if it is a good idea, if the state can benefit, I'm sure that we can make changes to the law if necessary. So I think this is not about debate whether we're going to get X on our face. It is simply a very good idea. We should look at it. And if the law prohibits doing that, then we should change it. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Further discussion?
One item.
Please.
Sir. In this discussion of EB-5s, one of the problems that we have is that there's been a request for final regulations years ago, and there have been no final regulations given. And so it's up in the air. It's uncertain. Oregon has had one EB-5 organization that was through a fund, and it was out of Jackson County, and it's called the Golden Rainbow Freedom Fund. And it had investments, but it was set up so that the money could be taken back out after a couple of years. Anyway, it went all the way through the Ninth Circuit, and then they actually went for a writ of certiorari to the Supreme Court, which was not granted. Anyway, they were not allowed to continue because they were found to have not have enough at risk. So there are a lot of uncertainties, but it's not for us to try and decide today how it would work out, but merely let's proceed, as I believe you've said, Mr. Jin, that we go ahead and see what can be done, work with our congressional leaders and try and be able to benefit for Oregon as much as we possibly can from this foreign investment, because it would be a benefit to our businesses and to our economy and to our employment.
Mr. Co-Chair, if I may, we have Ms. Karen Gaudin, International Director of OECD, in our audience. Maybe she could say a few words about how Oregon cluster industry is working, and let give our panel idea in terms how, in the future, that the investment from China and also the strategy of the state of Oregon in terms of cluster industry might be working together. Karen, would you mind just say a few words? Yes, please.
She's not allergic to flowers. She's okay.
For the record, I'm Karen Godden, the International Trade Manager at the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department. I'll leave the pretty picture to Representative Richardson, and I'll sit here to the side to speak to you. Mr. Jin Lan is correct. The international division within OECD is adopting a cluster strategy, and we're technically moving away from an overly geographical focus, in part because of our interest in making sure that we are working closer with business at and looking at various opportunities. Having said that, China still is a very strong focal point for us. And part of what we're looking at doing with our clusters is to identify where we have existing industries who could benefit from collaboration and working and bringing other parts of the supply chain and the value chain into the process and really creating more opportunities, not only on the export side, but also on the investment side, which really goes to the heart of the issue at hand here. We are looking at strategic opportunities in Asia, China, in principle, to recruit foreign direct investment. So what I was hearing today is of interest. I would have to say I'm not familiar with the EB-5 visa program. I'm not intimately knowledgeable about the Oregon-China fund as it's going to be moving forward. I just talked to Nels and got a copy of that. But I would say, in principle, we as an agency are very interested in looking at a strategic approach in attracting foreign investment from China for all the reasons that have already been stated.
Thank you. Can I? I'm getting all kinds of notes. Karen, could you just stand down for a moment? I've got to come back to you and Nels, but I have given a note. We need to have the children come forward because they're going to have to leave at 2 p.m. Jim, are the children, are they already left? Or are they coming? But could... So what should we do? They're going to come and present, is that right, Singh, even?
Well, I was told that the Council General is almost here, so there would be waiting just a few more minutes.
Okay. Then let me... Okay, well, I look to fill time again. Karen, I didn't mean to cut you off, but here's what I'm thinking, President. I sort of wish that Karen would become an ex-official member of the committee. The reason is, the brief number of times I've been at these meetings, so much of what we do, I want to know where economic development is. And it would be nice if someone, if that department was here, at least ex officio, then we could react to them. For example, if you listen to the Nels Payne presentation, so much of it interacted with economic development. What's all I'm doing here, folks? I'm doing this is called multitasking, and men aren't supposed to do that very well. So I'm watching body languages, I'm reading notes, and I'm trying to be respectful of the witnesses, and I got all kinds of things going on in my life here. So I just want to throw that out to the members of the committee. Representative Richardson, I have not spoken to the speaker, but it just occurred to me, and Karen, I know your plate's full, but so much of what this committee is about, it seems to me, would interact with our economic development committee. And we certainly need that help, if you know what I mean. So it's not absolute. You may disagree, members of the committee, but I'm sort of thinking along those lines. So
I think it's great. I propose it.
Okay, you propose it. Okay.
I thought you did.
Yeah, right. It's fine. So, Karen, I didn't mean to cut you off or Nels, because I know there's been... it's not like we're not listening. We're listening, and I'm trying to figure out how we dovetail, how we make some things happen in the future. And, yeah, okay. Are we ready now? Okay, we're ready now. Now, Jin Lan is not here.
He'll come back.
The ambassador, I believe, will be coming in. Ambassador Pong, who's the ambassador, Consul General of People's Republic of China, San Francisco, California. And these delightful children from, they're going to sing to him and to us. And I'm very happy about that because I've not had a good day and I need to have my day lightened. And song lightens my day and children lighten my day. So the ambassador will join us shortly. The ambassador is not here. Okay. Could we hear from the children, even though the ambassador's not here? Because I would like to hear the children sing. Jack, are you the director?
Not the director, but okay. The counselor.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Take it, Jack.
国际学校小小和平歌艺术团表演现在开始. The International School's Little Dome Piece Art Troop Performance starts now. 第一个节目大中国第二个节目茉莉花. First they'll be singing Great China, and secondly they'll be singing the Jasmine Flower. 谢谢, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. That made me feel much better. When children sing to me, no matter, even if I have a heavy heart, I feel good. So, in fact, I wish they'd sing more to me, even though they were singing to our two distinguished guests who've entered the room. The Honorable Pong, who is the ambassador and general counsel. Ambassador General Counsel joins us. I welcome you very much. I appreciate your coming here today. And he's also, we're joined by the Deputy Counsel General Shen, right here. If he's here, please. Thank you. I was unable to attend the dinner last night, and I feel very badly about that. Yeah. Because I didn't get to eat the food. But no, I do feel badly. I was unable to be there. I'm just glad I can be here today to welcome you to our capital, to Salem. We're really pleased to be here. It's an honor. The speaker, Karen Minnis, who I believe you had dinner with last night, Karen Minnis, she was here earlier, and she had to leave just a few minutes ago to go to Portland.
Okay.
And she also talked about how she had a great time last night meeting and talking with you, and wanted to extend her best wishes to you as well. So, and to the students, they've left. But as they left, I paid them their greatest compliment, as an adult, just for what it's worth, when an adult says that children make them smile, then that's about as good as it gets if you're an adult talking to a child. So I hope they're told how much we appreciate their attendance and their singing. That was really a delight. Now, let me ask our good committee executor here, Jen Lon. I can go a lot of directions here. What do you suggest? Do we want to hear the comments now from the Honorable Pong, or what do you suggest?
I think we'll have the Honorable Reverend Richardson and maybe myself to give the committee the report on our trip. Maybe after that, the Honorable Ambassador Pong can say a few words to us.
Oh, that'd be great. So why don't you do that? This is, of course, the trip that they took to our sister state, Fujian Province, and that was in June. I know it was in June because they couldn't go, and they got to go without me, and they made a big deal about that. And they had a good time. I can't even see you, Jen Lon. This is okay.
I'm hiding.
That's fine. That's all right. So we
missed a great trip.
I'm sure I did miss a great trip. I'm about to find out how much of a great trip I missed.
Okay.
All right. I'd like to begin, Mr. Co-Chair and members of the committee, and Ambassador Pong, we're so grateful that you're here with us. By giving this an overview of the trip that we took in June, we were gone from June 14th to the 26th. The trip was in response to an invitation received from the governmental leaders from Fujian Province, our sister state province since 1984. They had been informed of the creation of this committee, the Joint Committee on Fujian Sister State, and they were very impressed and pleased that Oregon would show such honor for the Sister State Accords by establishing this legislative committee. And so they invited the Speaker and of the House and the Senate President and others to come to Fujian in June, but for a couple of major reasons. One is that we were expecting to have a special session during that time, and some other reasons it was impossible for either the Speaker or the Senate President to make that trip. And so they asked if I and Representative Dalto and Senator Beyer and others would make that trip in their behalf. And so there was a total of about 20 that were involved with the trip. And we began by flying into Guangzhou, where we were able to meet, as discussed earlier, with the Visa Department head in the U.S. Embassy there to discuss the issues on improving the issuance of visas for Chinese citizens who would like to come to Oregon. We also, from there, went to the capital city of Fuzhou, which is the capital city for Fujian province. And there we were treated with every courtesy, and we were able to attend the opening of the Oregon Fujian Sister State Association business office there, which was referred to as the Window to Oregon. And the goal of this office was to facilitate Chinese citizens who would like to have involvement with Oregon, whether it's investing or to come as tourists or to possibly have student exchange, educational opportunities, cultural exchanges, whatever can be done to help facilitate greater involvement between the peoples of Oregon and the people of Fujian Province and China. That is the goal of the OFSSA office in Fuzhou. While we were there, we also were able to attend the Fujian Technology and Project Fair. And this is a large fair. It attracted people from all over the country of China. And Oregon had a booth there. And in that booth, we had been able, with the assistance of OECDD and the Travel Oregon leaders, to have boxes of materials, handout materials and flyers and brochures that we could hand out over a 2 to 3 day period. Unfortunately, the interest was so great that in just a few hours, the supplies were depleted. There were many hundreds of people that wanted to know about Oregon and where Oregon was and what we had to offer. So it was very exciting for us to be there and to be talking with all these hundreds of people that were so interested and so positive about the United States of America and especially Oregon. And so we attended that and then had a meeting with the Fujian Chamber of Commerce, They supported the opening of the office there in Fujian, in Fuzhou, and they had over 200 people that came to a big event for us to cut the ribbon and open this office. So it was very exciting to do that. In addition, at the request of Representative Dalto, arrangements were made for us to meet with the leaders of the public health department for Fujian province. It was a very positive meeting as we discussed things that they had learned from their preparations for a pandemic problem. I mean, they had gone through SARS, they've had avian flu cases, and they understand the concern of a possible mutation of the avian virus that could turn out to be an international pandemic. And they've learned a lot of things we have as well. And so at the conclusion of that meeting, we made an agreement that we would work with them and establish a televideo conference between the leaders of their public health department and the leaders of Oregon's public health department under the direction of Dr. Susan Allen. And so that has tentatively been set for the end of November, and we're making arrangements right now to see if we can bring that off in this year, where we'll have a teleconference that would be at 7 o'clock in the morning in Fujian and 4 in the afternoon here, and we have an agenda set up beforehand to discuss lessons learned, preparations made, and things that we can assist with their preparations and the things that we can learn from their experiences. And so one of the goals in doing this is to have closer relationships and to have an exchange of knowledge and understanding, and in that way be closer, not just in name only as sister states, but actually as like sister and sister, you know, as family members across the water. And so we're extending our hands across the water to them, and they are grasping and extending their hands across the waters to us. And so these are just a few of the results that have come from that trip. And with that, I would like to turn the microphone over to Jim Lam.
Okay, great. Compliment Representative Richardson's statement. I just want to maybe to highlight a few points here during our trip. One is that I really want to emphasize how important for the committee members to know that the visa issue is a very real issue for us to promote Oregon and Oregon economic development. As you know, back a couple years ago, the visa rejection rate from the U.S. Embassy to the Chinese visa applicant is about 87%. In the last 6 months, I think that we see marked improvement on the visa side. We were fortunate enough when we visited the U.S. consulate in Guangzhou. By the way, the U.S. consulate in Guangzhou has the consular jurisdiction over Fujian. So they're very helpful. They actually said that once we have opened up our business office of OFSSA, they will sign a staff member to just take care of the visa issued by OFSSA. So that's a wonderful thing. And the gentleman, non-immigration visa chief by the name of Mr. Laidlaw, he's actually Oregonian. So I think he has a particular sympathy to Oregon cause. So we have a good friends there. So I want to report that. Second of all, I really want to emphasize that during our trip, that we attended the trade show, the Fujian High Tech Trade Show. The trade show, as Representative Rearson mentioned, it actually attracted more than 30 countries. And the exhibition space, you know, as big as the Oregon Convention Center. We're pleasantly surprised that during the first day, the opening of the trade show, within 2 hours, all our Oregon materials are taken over, taken out by all the participants. And although they're mostly in English, I don't see any Chinese there, but we did well. And that just shows how eagerness the Chinese side want to know Oregon. What I really want to recommend to the panel is that we need to have some kind of a Chinese brochure minimum in the future when we do participate in these kind of shows or trade missions, that we have something to show to the Chinese who are not so much influent with the English.
What was that you said? We need a what?
Chinese brochures for our...
Okay, thank you. I understand. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
I'm sorry.
Now I understand. Okay, yeah, I know. We're sort of talking to each other through a flag.
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
I think the state need to probably figure out some kind of funding to get some decent tourist brochures and introduction of State of Oregon and those kind. I mean, that's really the minimum marketing we need to do. The third point I really want to cover is that our partner, that is Oregon Fujian Sister State Association in Fujian, is the Fujian Chamber of Commerce, with our board member, Ms. Timmy Cao, and also Mr. Lin, who is not here today. We have established a very close relationship, and they have over thousands of members throughout Fujian province, very successful entrepreneurs, which is very relevant to just Mr. Niels Pan was talking about in terms of attract investment from China. So we're very lucky to have a very good partner in China, and we have opened our office in Fujian. As Representative Richardson said, it is a window for Oregon. So we need to take advantage of that and really somehow to get word out to the state agencies and the different non-profit organizations. We do have a presence in China, and of course, in working with the OECD and the OECD's consultant in Shanghai, we actually right now have two windows in China. So that's my added statement here.
I'd like to add to it that the tourism aspects for Oregon's economy could be extremely good. In 1995, there were 4.5 million Chinese citizens that went abroad. By 2004, it was 20 million. In 2005, it was 31 million. And by 2010, it's expected to be 50 million Chinese citizens that will be traveling abroad. In the top six destinations is the United States of America. And so they're going to come to the United States, and they're going to see the main attractions that are internationally known. But what we need to also do is invite them to come and see the real America. Come to Oregon and have American adventures, whether it's Western or on the river or Crater Lake or the gambling or the golfing. Have opportunities to meet with real Americans and buy their American souvenirs tax-free. And that was the message that we gave them, and we're looking forward to working with motel chains and with restaurants and with tour guides and travel departments to make this a Chinese-friendly destination for Chinese tourists, because many of these people do not speak English. And so it's a little intimidating to come here. And so we want to make sure that our motels have tea and hot water available in there, not just coffee, and that we go out of our way to make sure that there's translations of instructions and menus into Chinese, so that when Chinese citizens come to Oregon, they'll know that they've come to a place that respects their culture, respects their language, and respects them as people, and we want to make them feel very welcome, because Oregon is the most hospitable state in America, and we need the Chinese to understand that. And so we're looking to help Portland be the gateway to America for Chinese tourists coming to the United States.
May I just maybe add what you just said? As a concrete step, Oregon Fujian Sister State Association, with our board member, Mr. Yang, in charge, we're actually going to create a Oregon Chinese tourist certification program. The purpose of that program of certification is to train Oregon hotel operators, bus drivers, translators about ABCs of Chinese culture. So when the Chinese tourist comes in, that they feel comfortable, they know the hotel operators know how to treat them. As Representative Richardson just mentioned, you know, they probably don't want to drink ice water, maybe hot water and tea. All those small things, I think, that make big differences. Ms. Yang is already, I think, working on different steps, trying to create that program. And we are also going to work with the Fujian tourist industries together to create this certification program.
We'll also set aside electronics so that Chinese programs will be sent to their rooms. We've already set up programs for newspapers and magazines, and we're working on the translations right now. We have a cadre of translators, interpreters, and guides. And next week I'll be attending an Oregon travel conference at Hilton Hotel, but I've already been talking to hotel owners and other people involved with our industry. So I hope to have more to present to you in another 2 or 3 months.
Mr. Co-Chair, this is a tremendous opportunity for Oregon. And the travel of Chinese residents to America is certain. And so that's one area that no state has really taken it over. I mean, certainly Las Vegas is attracting, and many, as is Hawaii, but that's to be expected. But we have the opportunity to give them a vision and an experience in America that they wouldn't have in any other way. And so it would be very important for us to work with Travel Oregon and the other travel agencies that we have contact with for certain translation of brochures into Chinese. Maybe the website that we would have for Oregon would have a click here and go into a Chinese language translation version of the website. There's certain things that we can do that would make it very user-friendly for Chinese that are planning a trip to America so that they can come to the real America.
Thank you.
I've been traveling to China since 1962, and I've never had the reception that I had on this trip, and I believe it was all because of Representative Richardson's things that he said at these dinners and how he acted, and I think the committee should really thank him for the goodwill that he created on this trip.
Thank you.
Yes, I've tried to acknowledge earlier all that Representative Richardson has done to develop this relationship with Fujian Province. I also believe you sent us an email as well about your travels shortly after you got back, or maybe when you were flying. I think you're actually in the air when you did that. Maybe not. You said something like that. I am at 40,000 feet at 600 miles an hour, or something like that. If I'm not mistaken, that's what you said. I don't know where you were, but that tells me you're up in the air. And I'm looking at all these colored pictures. Now, you folks don't have the colored pictures here, the black and white. Representative Richards, you're just about in all the pictures. But there's one, I can't find it, that, well, I guess it is here, that they've spoken extensively about how warmly treated they were, and I'm jealous because here we have a banister up on a, looks like a
hotel.
Balcony or something,
yeah,
and
hotel.
It says here, warmly congratulate the delegation of America, Oregon Senate and House of Representatives. So that must have been nice to come in and see that banner up there. I'm just saying that. Is that right? Am I? You know what I'm talking about here?
They rolled out the red carpet to us.
Yeah. Did they leave you up there the whole time or what?
Yes. They did.
Jeez. I wish somebody would give me a
banner.
Well,
why you come, Mr. Co-Chair, the banner will be bigger.
Well, no, I wasn't. I just think it'd be nice to have a banner hanging saying welcome. So I just, that's really pretty nice. So very good. Yes, please. I mean, yeah, Representative Dalto, he's in just about. I tell you, he's all over these pictures too. Here he is. And
you hit on the banner, and I wish, well, the photograph doesn't do justice to the kind of reception that we received at that hall. There were over 150 people. Waiting for us, anxiously awaiting. We were greeted with a very special presentation with the dragon dance outside and wonderful music, and people were very anxious and eager to cement our relationship with the Oregon Fujian Sister State Association. So hope that you're able to lead the next delegation so that we can further cement those ties.
Well, obviously there's a movement here. The another thing I have to say, Mr. Ambassador and Deputy Counsel, is the one thing that I never left this country until a year ago when I went to China. It was the first country I ever went to, in Beijing for 10 days. And sure enough, these photos highlight something that I noticed then. It's here again. The power of the color of red. When I was a child, red has always been my favorite color. And this red is so powerful in these pictures. And when I was in China, if you said, what do you remember most? I'd say, one thing I remember is the color red. All colors. And here it is again. Also, you know, you mentioned 4.5 million people. That might sound like a lot. But in the days I was in Beijing, and several times, my hotel was very close to Tiananmen Square, so I liked to walk there. I could swear there were times there were over 4 million people in Tiananmen Square. I may be wrong. And that was at sunrise when they were raising the flag and playing their national anthem. So I'm just telling you, that's what I remember about Tiananmen Square. Enough of my talking. Anything else that we want here?
Mr. Co-Chair, if you don't mind, I'll just sit here, maybe do the next on the work for 2007 for the OFSSE and maybe perhaps our joint committee.
That's fine.
Let's last time our agenda, our Ambassador Peng can also say a few words. With your permission.
Right. I'm trying to, so you're going now on the recommendations, or we're going to...
Yeah, I'm going to, for the 2007 okay. recommendation,
oh,
and then Ambassador Peng can say a few words
okay,
later.
Let,
with your permission, I'll
sure.
go ahead. I think we both Representative Richardson and myself just made a concise report to the panel. What I want to say right now is, in terms of the agenda for 2007, of course, with the good office of Consul General, and we hope we can accomplish that. Essentially, we're focusing on three major items. Number one, we will work out some kind of Oregon-China fund. As Mr. Payne mentioned, as Ms. Gaudi mentioned, of course, we have a lot of work to do in terms of figure out EB-5, how that works, how that doesn't work, and how we should work with congressional delegation from Oregon and other states to overcome whatever the obstacles we have. Second of all, we will definitely work on the Chinese Tourist Certification Program for 2007. And Mr. Yang is going to take charge of that, and we will make it a much more concrete program, work with Eastern Oregon, with South Oregon, so we can make that a program a success. The third item for 2007 is actually one of the most important ones, and I hope Ambassador Peng's office could give us some assistance. That OFSSA, in association with Association for Corporate Growth, which is Oregon-based organization, we're going to host a Chinese entrepreneur conference in 2007. We expect to invite a minimum of 50 to 100 Chinese business executives to work together to essentially talk about manufacturing-related issues. The Association for Corporate Growth, 70% of members are Oregon manufacturers. Of course, you can understand they are very apprehensive of China's presence, particularly in the manufacturing sector. We have worked together trying to, one, to overcome some of the fears on the Oregon side. In essence, manufacturers in China and manufacturers in Oregon, they both face some of the common issues in their daily life. For instance, lean production, quality control. We're going to talk about Six Sigmas. We're going to talk about supply chain management. Those issues are common issues, and that's something we can tie our two countries together. So that's one of the major issues we're going to embark for 2007. So those are works we're going to try to do. Of course, Mr. Co-Chair, we're not going to let you off the hook. In May next year, we're going to have another delegation to go to China, and we definitely want you to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In the middle of session.
Yes. Just 2 days. Okay, that's my quick write-up on 2007. And, I'm very lucky with our board members, of course, Representative Richardson and our joint committee. I'm quite confident that we will accomplish the goal to promote a better and prosperous economic relations between Oregon and China.
Thank you, General.
Thank you.
Now I believe the Ambassador Peng will speak
yes.
to us.
Yes.
And Bishin, so Ambassador Peng, we welcome you, and we look forward to your comments. You're there. Unless you want to go. Well, you know what? Why don't you go there? Why don't you go there if you don't mind?
Okay.
Whatever you want to do.
Okay.
I want you to be comfortable, Ambassador.
Thank you very much.
Whatever you feel like.
May I interject one?
Sure.
I'd like to compliment Representative Richardson, because the Chinese culture pays great importance to family, and so do the Americans. When Representative Richardson brought his wife and his daughter and his son, I saw the reflection in their faces and heard their comments. A lot was done because the Richardsons were there, not just Mr. Richardson or Representative Richardson.
Yeah, about broke my family, but but it was worth it. It was worth it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Please, Mr. Ambassador, please.
Okay, thank you. Honorable President Courtney, and also I should say honorable speaker, Minister, she's not here. I know some time ago. Sorry, because of the misunderstanding of the time, we're a bit late. And also honorable Representative Richardson, and also Honorable Mr. Nanjing and other members of Sister State Committee. Good afternoon. My colleagues and I feel very honored to be invited to attend Oregon Fujian Sister State Committee meeting today. Thank you very much for providing this opportunity to meet with all members of your committee. Oregon is the first state in this country passing a law for a sister state relationship. Oregon is also the first state in this country with both the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House co-chairing a sister state committee. Please accept my heartfelt thanks to President Courtney and Speaker Minnis for your precious support and understanding and remitting efforts in promoting good cooperation between our two sides. Thank all the committee members for your efforts. The sustainable and rapid economic growth of China draws attention from all of the world. Over the past 28 years, changes have taken place in China. I believe many of you have seen that with your own eyes. Last year, China's GDP reached $2.26 trillion US, and the foreign trade volume reached $1.42 trillion. Reform and opening up is the engine for China's economic and social progress. Most of the global top 500 companies have invested in China, and some even moved their Asian and Pacific headquarters and R&D centers to China, like Nike and Intel. Recent years have witnessed a steady progress in China-U.S. relations. Our high-level officials maintain frequent contacts. This year alone, our two presidents have met twice. China and the United States are not only stakeholders and more importantly, constructive partners, which is the consensus reached by our presidents on April. Our two countries have conducted fruitful cooperations on many important international issues in recent years. The bilateral trade volume reached $211.6 billion last year. The U.S. is the second largest trading partner of China, and China is the third largest trading partner and the fastest growing export market for the United States. The progress of relations between our two countries owes much to the state like Oregon and to political and business leaders like all of you. With your goodwill and efforts, the state of Oregon has enjoyed very good relations with China. Last year, China is the sixth largest export market of your state. Honorable Representative Mr. Richardson just finished his trade mission trip to China, which is very fruitful, as you have discussed in this meeting. I'm very glad that political and business leaders in this state attach great importance to enhancing our bilateral relations. You have outlined some plans and prospects for further strengthening our close ties. I can assure you that Chinese consulate, I myself, Deputy Consul General, and my colleagues are always ready to join you in this regard. We are happy to offer our efforts and in respect of bettering our bilateral relations. Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you, Ambassador Pong. Appreciate your coming before our committee. We're working hard to develop a sister state relationship with Fujian Province, and I'm sure we will have many more visits to that part of China. We're just starting to develop it, I know, with Representative Dennis Richardson in the lead. I think we fell behind a little bit, if that's not correctly, Representative Richardson didn't. But I think the Speaker and myself are trying to develop those relationships on at least an annual basis. Every year some kinds of exchange can take place. We're in this together, but we're both learning. So I hope that patience is there. There's a lot of pressure to get me to go to China. I need to tell you something, Mr. Ambassador and Deputy Counsel. I have a weakness, and the weakness is what some of these people know about it, and so that's why when they lobby me to go to China, I struggle, because I've never been out of our country, and then when I went out a year ago, I went to China, which is a very big compliment to you. But you see, I had to take a plane to get there. I don't like to fly. So I have to work with that. You see what I'm saying? I had to, because I'm not going by boat, and there's no train. So as I'm sitting there, and I want to go, but I got to get there in my own mind. See, you know what I'm saying? Planes. So that's okay. I have to work with that. That's my problem. But I just think I got to get that on the record, because it takes more than a couple minutes to get to China in a plane. So, Representative Mitchell, you want to help me out here a bit and say some things?
I would like to add to what you've said, and first congratulate you in all the work that you're doing. And we're so grateful to have you be in the San Francisco office, Ambassador Pan. And then also to say to our committee and to you as well, that in addition to the work that we're trying to do on an adult level, we see the tremendous need of working with the youth for the next generation. And we see a tremendous need to enhance the desire of our youth to take Chinese. And one of the things that will be discussed is what we can do to try and promote that in Oregon, because we know that in the 21st century, those who have a knowledge of conversational Chinese will be far ahead in many ways than those that do not. And so it's with our location as being so close to China as far as the United States is concerned, and our concern and our commitment to developing further the relationship we have with China, and especially with Fujian, but with all of China, we want to see that our young people have a great love and respect and interest in our sister and brothers in China, because we see the United States and China as being the leading nations in the world in this century. And so there's many reasons for it, but we just find that as we look ahead, good relationships will manifest themselves in so many ways in the generation to come.
Mr. Co-Chair, if you may I say a few words?
Sure.
I really want to take this opportunity to really thank Ambassador Peng in his statement. I think Mr. Co-Chair and Madam Co-Chair, Mr. Peng just mentioned that this is the first time in the U.S. state history where you and our Speaker co-chair a committee on the sister city relations. That speaks highly about your leadership, about our panel members from the legislature. Here, I really want to express my sincere appreciation for all the panel members and for Ambassador Peng's presence here.
May I just say one short thing?
Sure.
I had the honor and the pleasure of having dinner with the ambassador last night. He's a very open, very candid, and very interesting individual. And we are fortunate in Oregon to have somebody of his caliber as the ambassador in San Francisco.
Yes, we really appreciate that.
Thank you. Representative Dalton, do you wish to make a statement?
I think the speakers before me were very articulate in their comments, but I've appreciated the accessibility and the assistance and the support from the ambassador's office in the San Francisco office, and I think this is a great first step in a very strong relationship to come. Thank you.
And Representative Beyer, I think next time we must have you to come to China.
I now have a passport.
Oh, good. Ready to travel. Okay.
Hey, I do, for the record, I want to officially thank Representative Billy Dalto and Representative Jennifer Richardson and Senator Roger Beyer. Was that those? That was it. Was there?
Yes.
For being the members of the Oregon Legislature who went on this visit to China in June, and I appreciate very much their doing that. Just as a final note, Mr. Ambassador, Deputy Shin, it's been talked about how the Chinese people have incredible respect for family. I know more than I'm putting or letting on. When I went to China, I took my wife, and that was very much appreciated. I've heard that. I did not know about these things. It really was appreciated. But you see, I work for Western Oregon University, and what the world doesn't know is our president has recently spent as much as 4 weeks in China. Major things are going on between Western Oregon University and China in terms of at least, there are now at least 50 students from China at Western Oregon University, and there's major delegations and faculty exchanges and things going on. And what's interesting is that when he last went there, he took his wife with him. And his first trip he did not, his second trip he did, and he was telling me how amazed he was, the impact it had, that he would bring his wife with him to China. But then I have the ultimate story. A delegation came from China over to visit Western Oregon University, many local officials, faculty members, as number up to 35 people. And I worked with a delegation to meet the governor here, with a visit with the Port of Portland, to meet with our different state officials, local officials. And when I was up, I actually was with the group all day one Saturday, and they were amazed that I'd stay with them. But I asked them to come back to my house in Salem, and they could not come back because they'd arranged some other trip. And that really bothered them because they really wanted to come to my house. That would really be special. And I didn't understand that, but that was big to them that I was going to have them come to my house in Salem. I didn't think anything about it. And they were just aglow about that. And the president of Western Oregon University had some of their presidents of their universities literally come to his house and have dinner there, and it just overwhelmed them. So I know a little bit about this appreciation of family. So to anybody who goes, if you can take a family member, it's powerful, powerful, powerful. So just, you know, I'm learning about these things, Dennis. I know some stuff. See, I know some stuff.
Well said.
So wasn't that good?
Wonderful.
Yeah,
yes.
All right. Are we about there? Or?
We're about there.
Okay. Well, anybody else want to say anything before we adjourn? Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, please.
Hi. Well, I'm Artis Reverman, and I was included on this delegation.
Oh, why don't you come forward, please? Yeah. We need to... Did you again, for the record, I don't mean to be... You need to say who you are and things for the record. They need to make the record here, please.
I'm Artis Reverman. I'm an educator that's worked with the university system in Oregon for longer than I care to even think about at this point. So I was included with this trip, and if you're a ready, fire, aim kind of learner like I am, you just go, and then you just figure out what it was that you learned along the way. So I need to stand up. What happened with the help of Dennis Richardson, who I agree was probably the most incredible person to be with just because of his deliverance. I'll never be able to go on a trip again and not expect red carpets and staff with flowers and, you know, kind of just the whole... energy. But the unsung hero on this trip really was Timmy, because a lot of things were falling apart under the radar, and he remained calm and cool, as did Ed and Jen, and kept this thing going, and it was incredible. For us, I mean, we really never had a moment of worry. Well, in Fuzhou, after the trade conference, I went to a jewelry factory with Dennis's charming daughter, Alyssa, accompanying me, and a little advice from Merle. And I had taken a mold from a jeweler in John's Landing, because I've taught teachers for a long time. So now we've produced these pendants and keychains for for the teachers of all the classes that have been involved. And then also we're working on another project there, which is a learning style poster with puppets. It takes a long time in multiple intelligence to get down to think, look, talk, and feel. But that's basically what we're doing, is teaching the core of cognitive models to little kids, K through 12, and getting it into the classroom. So the puppets are being made there, and then they also have a chip with the song in them, and there'll be a disc, and then on the back are different learning style activities for the teachers or the mommy factor so that they can use them. But it's just, it was such a fun experience, and Timmy's nieces have been helping me do the puppets. One is teaching at the University in North Carolina as a multimedia specialist. So she translates my emails to Na, who is in Fuzhou, and she's the one that's the foot soldier going to the factories, and then we design everything, and then I scan it, put it on an attachment, send it back over her, and we've been doing the corrections. So when the product gets finally delivered, I will send samples to all of you, and I just so appreciated to be part of Oregon and to be able to go in this capacity with, you know, actually, just the smart, warm, polite, and funny group that we were. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Hans. You're in the pictures, too, here.
I sure hope so.
You look good at
it. It was just like and, the suits I kept telling
you. Yeah, and one of them, you look good in red. You're in red.
Yeah.
So you imagine. You imagine. Yeah, you got it all here. There it is, right there. I'm not making this up. She's got matches the background. Thank you. Anything else for the committee to discuss? Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.